Let's talk a little bit more about this Auburn Arkansas game, and then what does it mean for the roster impact and the future outlook? And I got a special guest for us. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and I'm here with none other than the legend, Mr. Jim Dunaway, buttoned up, and I'm not even buttoned. Look at the man. He looks great. Hat's flat, buttons buttoned, and we're ready to go. We're going to dive into this Auburn-Arkansas game and talk a little bit more about the future outlook for this season, what's going to happen with the roster, what's going to happen with recruiting, and I love to get Jim's intake. Jim's take on this as well. So, but before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for that double up bonus. You give them $100, they're going to give you another $100 back on top of it to play with. Hey, risk-free, basically risk-free. You got some money you can kind of play with, jump on those live bets. Those, all the sport books line that you can dream of. They got it all there at mybookie.ag. So let's jump in here, Mr. Jim. Let me get your take. First of all, we talked about the game last night and the penalties and the turnovers and third down defense giving up big third downs. What's just from an outsider's perspective watching the game, what are your overall thoughts?
Well, first we need to say that I am an outsider, right? I'm not part of the Auburn family. In fact, I've done the Alabama to get the perception of what I'm bringing to the conversation here. I know I'm on the inside of the Auburn family here, and I appreciate your opportunity of allowing me to come here and have a conversation about this. I have been covering this program for 35 years almost now. And my thought on this loss is losses happen. This one hurts. The Cal game hurts, because when we looked at the schedule with all the offseason chatter, you looked at Cal, that was a win. You looked at Arkansas, that was a win. You're 4-0 at home. You got a big game with Oklahoma coming in. It's at home, and you think maybe we could be 5-1 on our way to the rest of the season. You're 2-2 with Oklahoma coming to town, and you flipped quarterbacks a couple of times, and now it seems different. It seems very different. My take on this is, first, you know, to chill out a little bit. It's a long season, and you don't want to do anything drastic now. I just came off the golf course. Full disclosure, 6 of my closest friends in the world, our supper club from our Sunday school classes, are all Auburn men who graduated from Auburn, who married Auburn women, met their wives on the campus down there. Right now, off the top of my head, I think there are 7, maybe 8 kids in our supper club that are students on campus there now. I am surrounded by, what do you call yourself, a bug? Is that what you call yourself in the open? I mean, it's constant. That's all I hear. That's all I talk about, right? Yeah. And when I'm with them, they're the best people in the world, and I love talking to them. Mostly I listen. So I come off the golf course today. It's me. It's one of my friends who is a contributor. He's a donor at Auburn. And then 2 other season ticket holders. And they're split. They're split. One guy, I won't tell you which one, but he didn't want Hugh hired to begin with, and he's the "I told you so" guy on the golf course for 18 holes today. I told you. There's one guy who's now, he was all in on Hugh, now he's wavering. And then there's the other guy who is like, listen, we got to be patient, man. We got to be patient. And that's where I am today. And I know we're going to talk about a lot of things, but one thing you're going to hear about, and you already have last night, is Bo Wallace, who used to quarterback for Hugh at Ole Miss, and he's talking, running his mouth a little bit about what Hugh means to him. And he has every right to do that, but I am of the belief system that there is nothing that Bo Wallace is saying about Hugh, there's nothing anybody's saying about Hugh, that the people who hired Hugh Freeze at Auburn didn't already know about Hugh Freeze. They knew who Hugh Freeze was. They knew anything that's in his past. They knew how he coached, and they made that decision. So why four games into this, and I told this to my buddy on the golf course today, why four games into this, you would start thinking, even bringing it into your head about doing something else right now. You still have all these football games left to play. Don't even let your head go there yet. That's my takeaway from the loss. This loss sucks, man. It sucks. It sucks because you made a switch at quarterback, which I was against. I thought it was too early to pull the plug on Peyton. I thought when you put Hank Brown out against the nation's 133rd defense in the FBS that he was going to look good.
Sure.
And he did. And then he comes out and he's playing an SEC defense. And there was the potential that he would look like a freshman. And he looked young. He looked like a guy didn't have a lot of seat time. And then at halftime, what do? You tell Peyton Thorne, hey, you're in, man. And Peyton said afterwards, not a whole lot of talk. Said, you're in. He said, okay. And he goes out there. And by the way, do you set him up with a nice little ease into the second half? Nope. You throw the ball eight of the first 11 plays.
Yeah.
So you are off the bench, out of the locker room, eight of the first 11 plays. Go get it, dude. So I thought, that was a early roll of the dice by Hugh Freeze. And he set Hank Brown up to look good against New Mexico and hoped it carried over in this game. And Kyle, I'll tell you, what are you going to get the rest of the year? My concern is last year as a sports journalist or an entertainer, whatever I am, I watched Hugh Freeze say, maybe I need to start calling plays. Monty called some plays I don't really agree with. And they sort of went back and forth on who was calling plays, right?
Right.
You have the old Gus and Chip Lindsey days, right? Maybe I should take over the play calling. Chip called that play. I called that play. Well, this year, my fear is we're going to spend all season and it's going to be the flip-flop of Peyton and the flip-flop of Peyton and Hank all year long, and nobody will be able to get a little rhythm. That's my takeaway of this is where are we going with the quarterbacks and how we're going to handle it. I don't care if Hugh Freeze stands up and makes a comment afterwards that says, hey, there's open receivers running. There are open receivers running. And I know we'll dive into this specifically throughout this thing, but that's my takeaway. It was a bad loss. There's a lot of blame to go around. But I don't understand how some people in their mind instantly go to, man, we probably should pull the plug on this right now. No, you should not pull the plug on this right now. The worst thing you could do right now is pull the plug on this thing right now.
Well, hey, I don't know that Auburn can pull the plug on this right now, even if they really wanted to. I mean, you're starting to stack up some buyouts that would be pretty insurmountable. And I had a friend that told me it had a great line. Hey, why pay a $16 million buyout? Just go pay $2 million for a portal quarterback. So
that's right. That's right.
That could be the solution. But look, I'm kind of with you. I'm in the wait and see mode. I am obviously disappointed in the results, just like anybody else. So and I get heat sometimes for somewhat making excuses or sort of taking up for Hugh or Peyton or Hank or whoever. But at the end of the day, if this feels like this came down, what we're seeing right now kind of came down to one decision in the offseason, and it was do we go get just any portal quarterback, or do we kind of roll with our guys and build around what we have and see if that can stretch into some success and then continuity and culture and things like that? And I get the logic behind it. Like I totally understand the logic behind it. But to me, that's what it kind of boils down to. I'm not sure. There's some quarterbacks on the roster that I think could be some really good SEC quarterbacks eventually. But like I said last night, I'm not sure that in 2024, at least for what Hugh wants to do, you have a quarterback that you feel really confident in being able to run the system. I mean, run what you want to run at an SEC competitive level. You talked about earlier, and this kind of goes back to Hugh's system a little bit too. I think defenses are now manipulating this RPO to make it where we have to do the P. they're sort of, I don't know that there's a ton of true run plays per se. Maybe that you see some defenses sort of giving you that stack box look to sort of make you, when you're having to make those decisions, you have to choose the pass. You know, they want you to throw the ball because they know that whoever's back there is more than likely going to end up making a mistake. And you saw that happen multiple times on Saturday again. But it's hard for me because I've always said I care more about what's going on off the field and what you do off the field from an organization standpoint, from a roster building standpoint, from a recruiting standpoint, what you're doing off the field. Because if you're doing those things, typically the wins will come. And that's why I'm trying to be a lot more patient here because we're not two full years in. And you do have the organization that you sort of built up in December with hiring a real GM and building up a player personnel, you know, whole staff now to kind of help. And you saw they landed Keandre Lambert-Smith in the portal right after those guys came in spring. Turns out he's probably one of the best players on the team. So they know what they're doing, and there's a system there to make some things work. So I'm sort of in the same wait, and I'm probably like your third friend. You know, yeah. I'm more along the lines. The biggest question is, how do I get in this golf game? I got to get in this golf game on Sunday.
First of all, you probably need to be in your 50s, and you're not there yet. Because we don't hit from the back tees, man. We're up a tee slot there. You bring up a good point on the RPOs. And I don't know if Hugh's into doing this kind of thing, but to me, two of the best players on the roster, all due respect to the Freeze Four and those great receivers. But I got Jarquez at 12 carries. I've got Austin at 3 carries yesterday, 15 carries for those guys. You know, dang it, I'd like to see that at 30 between the two of them. I don't know. Sure. Those two guys can run the football, in my opinion. And you know what? When they're running the football, you know what else that makes it easier? Makes it easier for Peyton or Hank to throw the football. Sure. And I'd like to lean into that a little bit. A good run game at Auburn's never been a bad thing. Anywhere in the SEC, a good run game hasn't been bad. And then, you know, if we're gonna spread some blame around, I loved the defense yesterday.
Sure.
I thought they were a little soft in the New Mexico game. There was a big hole right back there, about 10 to 15 yards, where they could drop passes all day long. I thought they fixed that. They forced the quarterback, Arkansas Green, to run the ball, which he's very, very good at. But then there's that one play where you rush three and eight drop. It's a third and long, and how you let anybody get behind you, I don't know. That's got to be that's one bad play. But I thought the defense played better.
Yeah,
I you know, it was talked about on the broadcast. I thought Coleman, you know, didn't run a route as hard as probably could, and that caused an interception there when Peyton, you know, led him a little bit. There's blame to go around on this team. It's not always coaches, but we'll talk a lot over this upcoming week about a coach's comment in a post-game news conference. And I've done this long enough to know that you go back and you watch the entire length of the Hugh Freeze news conference. There are times in there that he takes the blame. There's some times in there, but you can pull a soundbite out where he wasn't taking the blame.
Yes.
And that's the one that has gotten a lot of play. And, you know, we sent it out too from the next round. There were guys running open. You know, this and that. Well, yeah, they were. And that's true. And this isn't the 1970s anymore where, you know, I go to my first college football game and my grandpappy pats me on the leg and says, no, we don't boo. We don't boo our players. We don't boo college players. Well, this isn't the 1980s anymore. This isn't the 1990s anymore. These guys are paid. If Kirk Herbstreit can sit on national TV and say the quarterback made a wrong decision here, and they can sit on television and say, this guy's making $1.2 million to play football at Auburn or Alabama. The coach can come out and say, hey, there were guys running wide open, and nobody should get their feelings hurt because people are getting paid to play the game now. So I don't understand what the big deal is about Hugh not taking blame. He took some blame if you listen to the entire news conference about some of it, but some of the sound bites, he put it on the players. And you know what? They're paid players now, and they need to take some of the blame.
Great. Hey, you brought it up, and I saw the comment, too, from one of our guys. These kids are being paid. Hugh isn't out there fumbling the ball and throwing interceptions. If you take turnovers away from both games, play calling isn't the problem executing is. Exactly kind of what you pointed to. Hey, it's not just like it's kids anymore. Like these are technically, these are professionals.
That's right.
And here's the thing I would ask someone, how do you handle a quarterback situation and not and you bench a guy and it not look like you're putting the blame on the other quarterback? How do you do that? How do you have a quarterback transition to where it's on me. It's all my fault. We're going to change quarterbacks, but it's on me. Like, how do you do that? Like, there isn't a way to do that.
Yeah, there's not. And that's why I thought it was a mistake. And I'm not afraid to say, I thought Hugh made a mistake in changing quarterbacks. I mean, I thought he looked at the Cal game. If I'd been Hugh and I've coached zero college football games, I was a baseball player, not a football player, but I would have pulled Peyton out of the Cal game, put Hank into the Cal game. And then when you rode to New Mexico, Peyton would have still been my quarterback. He'd still been QB1. And then if in that game, Peyton started playing bad, then I would put Hank in. I'm not flipping the script. I'm very quickly after the New Mexico game, he says, oh, Hank's starting next week. Hank's our quarterback. Yeah. Well, I mean, now you look like you don't know which way you're going. You've talked all offseason about how I'm sticking with Peyton. Trust Peyton. Peyton's come along this, and he can finish my sentence now. You can do all of that, right? Peyton's our guy. He was our guy in May. He was our guy in July. He was our guy in August. He was the guy when we spanked Alabama A&M. And then, a few interceptions, a handful of interceptions against Cal, and he's not our guy anymore. And then we put Hank out there against New Mexico, and he lights up the nation's 133rd defense, and you can barely sit down in the news conference, and you say, Hank's our guy. He's starting next week against Arkansas.
Yeah,
well, it's a different defense. It may be just Arkansas, but it's SEC defense, and that runs a little different. That speed's a little different.
Yeah, especially after Peyton sort of lit up Arkansas last year. But that you bring up a really good point there. So I got a question for you, and it just left me.
That's okay.
I had a good one too.
And when that happens on the show, that's when I drop in our friends at mybookie.ag. You throw out the promo code and say, hey, you can make that deposit right now. You can play all the week 4 college football games, or week 5 college football games now.
Yeah. So I talked about it last night. I was a little bit more, I'm not going to lie. I was excited to see Hank. I know what the question was. I finally got it back. I was excited to see Hank go in there, get a shot. You know Hugh better than me. You've had some conversation with him more than I have. How much do you think the fan base played into that decision? And they got loud. They got very, very noisy. There was some boo birds that started to come out against Cal. Do you think that played any role in that decision? Because In hindsight, I think I'm with you. I think maybe we pulled the plug a little too fast, and now you sort of have nowhere to go. Like, where do you go now? So, do you think the fan base had anything to do with that? And then is that a concern if it did?
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with that. If it did, that's a problem. I don't think it had anything to do with that. But you know, I mean, we're all human. We want to be liked. Right.
Sure.
It does feel better when 88,000 people are pulling in the same direction and not booing you. Hats off to Peyton going in. And for a moment there, you know, with nobody really cheering when he went out there, it was awkward. He did OK to start with. I don't think so. You know, I've only had a few conversations with Hugh Freeze. We had a chance to talk to him off the record at SEC Media Days the night before he met the media. And I've got some feel for him. And you know, I got some feel for him through some personal friends who are friends of his. And I don't think the crowd, the Auburn fan base would influence that decision at all. I think he looked at, in my opinion, he looked at some talented wide receivers who, you know, if you can't get them the football, then it's like parking a great, you know, Ferrari in the garage and not letting them get out and drive. Right. And so you want these big recruits that were 5- and 4-star wide receivers. You want them to get out and eat a little bit.
Sure.
And so he was trying to find somebody to let them eat. I think Peyton would eventually let them eat a little bit. I wouldn't have made the change, but he did. And I tell you, early on in that first drive, I think it was the first drive against Arkansas, Hank made a couple of throws before he threw that first interception that I was sitting there and watching from home. I was sitting there going, I'm going to be wrong about this one. This kid's got it.
Yeah.
And then he threw the interception. And then, you know, the other two interceptions got a little bit worse. They tried to force that first one, but on that drive, that low and outside completion on the near side, that's an NFL type throw right there. That was money. So you can see the eye candy that would make you go, okay, this guy's got something that Peyton doesn't have, and I'm going to try to put that in there. But what Peyton has is that he's seen Big Ten and SEC defenses. He knows throws you can't make, and I think he protects it better. I think you have a better season if Peyton's your quarterback, and you bring Hank in when you can bring Hank in and let him get some seat time for the future. That's the way I would play it. I'd hate to say the way Florida's playing it with Mertz and Langway right now, but I would go Peyton Thorne the rest of the way unless the wheels come off of this thing, and then I flush it and go for the future.
Is that kind of what you expect for Oklahoma? Do you think Peyton – I don't think it's really been said one way or the other. Do you think Peyton ends up getting the nod for Oklahoma?
Oh, I 100% would. It would. I can't wait to hear what Hugh says. He may give us the old, well, we're going to see how practice goes this week. But if it was me, it would be Peyton Thorne's team. He's got the C on his jersey, and he's going to go out there and quarterback. I mean, think about who you're going up against now. You're going up against Brent Venables, who is one of the best defensive minds in the last 20 years of college football. And then you're going up against Kirby Smart, right?
Back to back.
Yeah, one of the best defensive minds in the last 20 years. He may not be calling the plays, but they're running his defense. So you got two guys who can throw eye candy at you. They can bring pressure where you don't think pressure is coming from. You think it's coming from here and it's coming from there. I mean, it is going to be for Hank Brown, if Arkansas confused him, it's going to be Latin this upcoming week with Oklahoma, and the same with Georgia. So I would go with as much experience as I could have, and I'd go Peyton Thorne. I'd ride and die with him.
I think I'm there with you, to be honest. I think I'm back in that. I think I'm back into that camp. I think maybe I bought into some of the rat poison, as Nick Saban would like to put it. And
wait, just because I'm on the show, you don't have to use Nick Saban at all.
Good point. Good point. Okay. Hey, you're doing great for your brand right now. If people that want to say that you're all Alabama and blah, blah, hey, this is good. This is good stuff.
Well, no. I've been Alabama my whole life. Sharing experiences as a long time SEC fan.
You're fair, and that's what matters.
By the way, this is from the Auburn collection of the Roback.com, by the way.
Let's go.
Did we send you one of these shirts?
I got the one with the old Aubies on it. One that's like that multi-print. It looks really good.
Yeah.
I don't have a coupon code though yet. So I think we got to use Vice 20. If you want to take 20% off, you got to use Vice 20, and you can get 20% off anything at Roback.com.
Or TNR20 if you want to just drop it into my
account. Yeah, whichever one. Yeah. Whichever pocket you want to drop it in.
That's right.
Hey, all right. So a couple of topics tonight that I feel like people are going to want to talk about. Everybody's looking at Billy Napier at Florida and what happened last year, and thinking that's the situation that's going to happen at Auburn. We're going to have a mass exodus in the portal. Recruits are going to, flee, start decommitting and things like that. And I'm not saying that's not completely off the table, but it's different. It's a different game now with NIL and everything like that. But like, what's your my biggest thing when you talk about roster retention? When you look at the makeup of this team, there's not very many 3-year players. It's either 2-year players, 1-year players, or 4th and 5th year players that are going to be mostly moving on out after this season. So the difference to me between Auburn and Florida is that gap you have right there, and that next year those guys are the guys, the freshmen and the sophomore. Those guys are the guys that are going to be your juniors and sophomores, the core of your team moving forward. Now you'll have to go to the portal a little bit and plug some holes. You got to go try to find a quarterback. That can't not happen this offseason, I feel like. And then there's going to be some holes elsewhere that you have to plug. What's your take on for Auburn fans, I guess, in general, when you're talking about a roster retention standpoint, what's your thoughts on how the rest of the season plays out, and should we be preparing for the worst as far as the mass exodus, I guess?
Well, first of all, I would tell you that there was a wide receiver at Alabama last year who, by the way, was an college football playoff team who won the SEC championship, and sometime between winning the SEC championship, maybe even before he caught the 4th and 31 at Jordan-Hare, his people were getting phone calls from people who were getting phone calls from people who were getting phone calls from Texas, right?
Sure.
Now,
sure.
You may call that tampering, but by legalities, it's not tampering. I can call somebody who calls somebody who calls somebody who calls somebody who talks to somebody. And you said it last week on one of your shows. You guys do so much at thebarnauburn.com. I don't know what day it was, but I was watching one morning and you said, if you don't think if we lose this game that Cam Coleman's not getting phone calls, that so-and-so's not getting phone calls, you're naive. And that is true. It's 100%. So this is why, if it can happen to a team that is going to the playoffs last year, you know, I feel like, you know, that guy was on his way to Pasadena and his stuff was already packed and on its way to Austin. Right.
Sure.
I think that was happening at the same time. Right. If it can happen to a playoff team, what can it do with us if we lose 2, 3, 4, 5 games? So if I'm an Auburn fan, absolutely it could happen. And likely, you know, it will happen with at least one. Right. It's college football. Everybody loses one now. I would say this is where the fans can really do their part. Keeping it as positive as you can. Right. To make it look like you're building something. It's important for Hugh and the coaches to be as positive as they can to make it look like you're building something. Like the future is bright. Momentum, momentum, momentum. And then that keeps everyone engaged. And then the brass tacks of it all, old saying there, but the bottom line is it's money. The bottom line is it's money. And if we're having a good season and the roster is going to cost this much, okay, if we're having a mediocre season or a bad season, now we're going to pay this much to keep the roster. The price is just going to go up. But it's the price of doing business. Gus didn't recruit well in his last couple of years. Harsin did not recruit well at all his entire time at Auburn.
Maybe not. Maybe just didn't recruit at all.
Yeah,
and then, that could be a potential.
And Hugh's having to dig you out of a hole. So I would look at recruiting, and I would stay focused on that. And it's hard to – it's hard to enjoy a Saturday if you lose, but I would focus really hard on riding this wave as positively as you can, and I'd let the coaches sell positivity, try to retain these guys at whatever price it takes, and then you recruit again, keep this number 4 class in the country intact, keep building on that, because it comes down to, you know, I love me some Nick Saban, greatest coach ever to do it. Love me some Bear Bryant, one of the greatest coaches ever to do it. You know what those guys had in common? They had great players. You know what it takes? You know what Steve Spurrier had at Florida when he was winning? He had great players. You know what Pat Dye had when he won 4 SEC championships in the 80s? He had great players, right? Yep. You can't do it without great players. And Auburn's roster last year and the 2 Harsin years, it was not top of the SEC rosters, not in the top half. So you got to get the best players in there again. And the process isn't easy. It doesn't happen overnight. And now you can lose the best players that you recruit. So you got to retain them. You got to recruit them. And that's why I would stick with you right now, because he's got that part down. And you guys, you've got the tip, only the tip of the iceberg of your NIL. Everyone was focused on year 3 anyway. I'd just keep riding the wave and try to make this year as good as possible.
I think Auburn doesn't have the from an NIL perspective, as far as the collective goes, I don't think they're going to have the most flashy, like they probably don't market it as well. They're not going to make a lot of lists, but Auburn has a very, very strong NIL program and they do really, really well. That's one thing is that I think probably I've talked about this in previous shows that maybe hurts them sometimes and helps them on other sides is how transparent it actually is. And this is what you get and this is what it is. And I think that security of knowing that's a guarantee for me here. And then the fact that obviously they're going to have to work with people, price tags are going to go up. It just kind of is what it is. And that coupled that playing time vision, the ability to get to the field. Sometimes I feel like that's what kids do. That's what the portal was sort of meant to be, was, hey, I'm stacked in behind the depth chart. I can go play, step down and probably get on the field quicker. Well, Auburn's sort of in the reverse situation. The older guys are leaving. The playing time's going to be there. So even if Auburn, it's a losing season, even if it's 4, 5, 6 wins, whatever it is, I think Auburn's in a good spot from a roster retention standpoint because, A, I think you have a very strong NIL that you can be proud of, that they work really hard. And then, B, the path to playing time's there. So I think that helps Auburn. I got a super chat I want to holler out. And, Jim, I'll get your thoughts on this.
On Super Chats, I'm all in favor of them.
Yes.
Keep them coming.
C5, why not play true freshmen? 4 stars or greater than 3 stars? There's quite a few true freshmen that actually are playing. So you're getting your guys at wide receiver that are playing. You're getting some young defensive backs. Caleb Harris, he's actually a 3-star from Thompson High School, playing a ton of snaps. And I think his workload is going to grow as time goes on. But Jim, thoughts on at this point in time, when you see the season maybe sort of going to maybe not go like you think it is, do you pull the plug and start playing all the freshmen and sophomores? How do you balance that? Because there is an argument, hey, you got to build for the future. But on the flip side, it's like, what about the seniors? And like, do you just give up on everybody that's put so much work into this season to just say, hey, we're just going full on development?
Well, I mean, when do you pull the plug? Did you pull it after the Cal game? Would you pull it now? You're going to win with these guys? Or are you just saying we're not going to win games this year? We're just going to work on experience. I think they can get enough experience in any mop-up time or just blowout situations. And then in the off season, the 15 practices before a bowl game, if you've got a bowl game, and then you got all the spring to get the experience. But my high school coach told me my senior year, we at our opening weekend, we lost a couple of games in a tournament we weren't supposed to lose. And he looked at the group and he said, listen, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose young. To you seniors, but if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose young, for exactly what the Super Chat guy is talking about. If we're going to lose, I'm going to lose and get experience for the guys who are going to be here next year. Problem is, now you're not guaranteed the guy that you're getting experience is going to be here. You could be just putting great tape out there for that guy to be plucked and go somewhere else. That's
great.
Right.
That's a great point. I mean, you could be marketing. You could be the marketing for a kid to go shop himself in the portal. That's wow. I didn't even thought about that. That's a whole new element to this game now that you got to think of when you're trying to make these kind of decisions.
So you got to go week to week, man. You got to try to win as many games as you can.
I think so too.
And that's when you go out there this weekend against Oklahoma. You go with Peyton Thorne. You rev up the Jordan-Hare crowd, 2:30 kick, I think they announced it. You go out there, you lean into this Oklahoma team, hope they're beat up a little bit coming off the loss to Tennessee. Boy, does Tennessee look good. And then you line up, you try to shock them, get this win this weekend. And then next Sunday, as you're sitting here doing this show, you're going to be like, man, feels different. 3-2 feels different with a win over Oklahoma.
It does. And I know Auburn's not great right now, but Oklahoma is, I feel like, beatable. Like that game, if you didn't see Auburn's season up until this point and you just watched Oklahoma, you'd feel really good about Auburn's chances against Oklahoma. And maybe if somehow you can figure out how to limit turnovers, because that to me feels like the only thing that's holding Auburn back. Like you outgained Arkansas by over 100 yards in offense. So you were moving the ball. But if you can cut the turnovers in half, what's the record? Like instead of 8 interceptions in 2 games and you only throw 4, do you win both of those games? It could be the big difference. And that's a little bit of a positive spin to look at, is you can figure out how to protect the ball. The system seems to be working from the aspect of we are getting people open, and at times we're able to get them the ball and sustain some drives. But you just got to limit the turnovers. Yeah. I mean, that's just basic football.
Well, I mean, the Austin fumble, right? I mean, that's about to be a touchdown, right? And it's a fumble because he does something that he's coached not to do. He chicken wings the ball, and that's not what you do. That's easy punch out at that point. Ball gets knocked loose easy at that point. If you're holding it high and tight, you're at the 1-yard line or you score right there, and it's a different game. It's a different game. So there are little things that could have gone either way, and you're talking about 4-0 or 3-1 going into the Oklahoma game. So it's not as bad. It's what's amazed me, and I know we overreact to every loss in college football. That's why I'm sort of leaning into college basketball lately, because we don't overreact to losses. We know the good stuff's coming at the end. You got time to get better and play some players, and when you get to March, then you can sit back and have a good time. This football, we overreact to a loss. It's a different world now because we got the 12-team playoff. And not that that's a concern right now at Auburn. You're thinking week to week, but we need to chill out on one loss, especially when it comes to pulling the plugs on coaches, man. I mean, it's a losing cycle. In fact, Florida will be stupid, and they are going to do it. You can count on it. but they would be stupid to fire Billy Napier unless they know they've got a guy that they're going to bring in that's going to make it work. Because Billy Napier was a heck of an FCS coach, Group of Five coach, I mean, at Lafayette. He was a great
recruiter group of five too. He's still been able to get commits. He's still been able to get some pretty highly rated commits, even under this huge wave of negativity.
And so you're going to fire him if they end up doing it. You're going to fire him because some Jim Dunaway behind a keyboard put him on a hot seat, and then somebody else put him on a hot seat, and he goes out there. And now they look bad. They look bad. But I would imagine Florida's fans realize, a lot like Auburn fans, our roster don't look like it looked when we were rolling people under Urban Meyer. We don't have any, Tebow's and Percy Harvin's on this roster. Takes time to get those. I would lean into holding a coach that can recruit and make the roster look good again.
Absolutely. I'm going to go over one more thing, and then we're going to hit some questions. I found some good ones I want to ask, get Jim's thoughts on. Recruiting outlook. Look, Auburn's got as I've told on multiple episodes, from a points perspective, this is the highest rated class Auburn's ever had. Like, in the modern ranking era, like when you rank, as long as they've been ranking players, this is the one that Auburn has, with all the commits you have currently, is the highest one ever. And then you just had a kid that came in on an official visit this weekend. His name's, I believe it's Nelson McGuire, an offensive lineman that they've been on early. They got on early out of Texas. He was a three-star when they got on him, and he just got re-ranked, bumped all the way up to a four-star on three, had an official visit, says Auburn's at the top. So, like, that just goes to show you that recruits see things different than fans and the way we see it. So I think Auburn's still got a chance to land Deuce Knight. I think there's still a lot of good feelings there headed into the weekend. Obviously, if you could have pulled off one of these wins in front of him when he's there, I'm sure it could have gone, you can catch kids in an emotional wave and maybe they go ahead and pull the trigger, but he's going to be here on an official visit for Oklahoma as well. I still think Auburn sits pretty well there. So we'll see. I don't necessarily see the sky falling quite yet on recruiting. And I think, obviously, that's what Hugh's good at. And with the NIL backed behind it, I think Auburn's still got a chance. If you can reel off a few more wins, you can kind of hold it together and still have a really good class to keep building with. So I'm going to hit a few questions, Jim, and then we're going to get out of here. But this one's a good one, I think, and I want to get your take on this. Robert Smith: how is Auburn only a 3-point dog to Oklahoma? So I think the line opened today. I think it's either 3 or 3.5 towards Oklahoma. With everything that you've seen from Auburn, everything you've seen from Oklahoma, does that line shock you, or are you as shocked as Robert?
No, I'm not. In fact, I think Auburn's got a chance to win the football game, because if you look at Oklahoma, defense really good. I thought defensively they played really, really good against Tennessee. But if you look at Oklahoma in the games before Tennessee, they've struggled to score points. They've got a quarterback issue themselves. Their offensive line is not put together very well. And you saw that last night. Their receivers, not the receivers of yesteryear, their offense, they're leaning into a really good defense. And when you talk about point spreads, if you're leaning into a really good defense at Oklahoma, and if Auburn's defense can limit their struggling offense, then you're talking about a low-scoring football game right now. So 3.5 points ends up being a lot. It's like 7.5 if you had two offenses that were clicking. So in this exchange rate of point spreads, this 3.5 really plays like 6.5 or 7 on the point spread. And I think Auburn can win this money line straight out this weekend. In fact, Florida, that you've lost these two games at Jordan-Hare Stadium, because every time, first game I ever covered was at Jordan-Hare Stadium. I haven't only been there for Alabama and Georgia games, but I've been there for Alabama and Georgia games. And it was still a good atmosphere. You just can't sustain it like you can in Alabama and Georgia game if you're not playing great. But here comes Oklahoma for the first time ever, right? Their first road SEC game. And I've talked to Oklahoma people all offseason. They were like, what stadiums are we going to be impressed of? And I said, well, you hear about Tiger Stadium. You hear about the Neyland Stadium. I said, you're going to be surprised the most about Jordan-Hare Stadium. It'll be crazy. I was hoping that was going to be a night game, but Alabama and Georgia took that slot. So here you go. It's another day game, but you guys can still make that 2:30 slot rock. And I want you, as an old SEC guy, to show those folks what it's like in the SEC on the road. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you go beat them, because I don't want the new guys to win the league or look good in the league. I hope they're all 6-6, Texas and Oklahoma, and I hope some old school SEC teams get them in their home stadiums. Teach them how hard it is to win on the road in our league.
We got a super chat before I get to that. You brought up a thought of something kind of interesting. Imagine Oklahoma, okay? Imagine, you know, we're mad at Hugh for not getting a portal quarterback, okay? Imagine if you had a really good quarterback and you let him go to the portal and he's already thrown for almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns.
That's right.
Through the first couple of games, and Dylan Gabriel. So everybody makes decisions in the NIL era, in the portal era. And I mean, hey, we didn't have that guy. We didn't have that guy on the roster that could have gone elsewhere, but that's one. You had a pretty solid quarterback that you let walk, and he's having a really good year, and you don't really have much to show for it. And they're doing a whole little bit of quarterback rotation. So I'm with you. I could see that game if you limit turnovers and you continue to develop this defense. I could see that spread. I could see the game kind of going that the way you just described. I really could.
And watch Brent Venables this week, because the young kid they put in there, he played better than Jackson Arnold did. So it's been Jackson Arnold's team. Goodbye, Dylan Gabriel. We're going to go with Jackson Arnold. And now the kid that played better the other night is the freshman. It's their version of Hank Brown. So you may see Brent Venables make a decision here to go with the young guy. Hey, and guess what? Young guy on the road, when they're not already 3 touchdowns behind, he's got to go win a football game, not just try to come back in that situation, in a mop-up situation. It's a different setting. If they go with the wrong guy in this one, they don't start Jackson Arnold, that's advantage Auburn, in my opinion.
Hey, he took Jackson Arnold to media days.
Yeah, that's right.
Said we're good with Dylan Gabriel leaving. We're going to take Jackson Arnold to media days, and we've benched him already. So that's kind of crazy.
It may not be the starter this week at Auburn. And if he's not, that's advantage Auburn.
I agree. I got another super chat. It's our one of our regulars, Thomas Jones. In your opinion, Keontae Scott needs to move back to safety. Playing outside DB has been a disaster. New nickname, Toast, getting burnt too much. Okay, that was a good one. So actually, I think they did kind of move him inside this week to a little bit more of that nickel role, where I feel like he's better closer to the line of scrimmage. He's better closer to the ball than he is out on an island. He did he was the one that got burnt on the long play. Don't really know if that was 100% his responsibility on the 3rd and 19, the touchdown. He did retreat and try to make the play, but there was a lot of expectations with Keontae, and he's really struggled.
But that was a zone, you know, right? It was rush 3 and drop 8. And we got to get out of the mindset, by the way, of rushing 3. On these 3rd and 19s, you know, you got to get. I'm just not talking Auburn. I'm talking all over football. You got to get out of this mindset.
You just have some elite dudes up there. Like, and even then, those 3 guys, it's just tough. It's tough to go 3-on-5, and then eventually somebody you feel like is going to get open.
Yeah, that quarterback that they were playing for Arkansas, he was he wasn't the best passer in the world. He would have checked it down, or he would have run in a heartbeat if you brought a little pressure in that situation, 3rd and 19, and he wouldn't have gotten it past the sticks. Just my opinion.
I'm with you. They were dialing up pressure at the right times, and that seemed like one, if you dial it up again, kind of similar to last year against Alabama, if you get after them a little bit and speed them up, maybe you make a play. This is in Auburn. This is one of those Auburnisms, Jim, and I know you're gonna get a kick out of this. OU's freshman quarterback will have a Heisman type day. That is an Auburn thing. We make backup quarterbacks look unreal. I can think of so many examples. I can go back to 2010 when we knocked Ryan Mallett out of the game against Arkansas, and then I can't remember Russell something, I feel like, comes in off the bench and lights us up. You got all kinds of backup guys. I totally get that sentiment, but I actually believe I'm with Jim on this one. If they do start the freshman, I think it's advantage Auburn in that one.
Yeah, I think he'll turn the ball over a few times in Jordan-Hare. I can go way back, though. Tyler Watts, Alabama quarterback, faked during warmups like he was going to play. And then Andrew Zhao was the starter at Jordan-Hare. That's back in the day, one of Alabama's few wins at Jordan-Hare Stadium was technically the backup quarterback who played all that entire game.
And I think he pretty much lit Auburn up in that game too. I think he had, from what I remember, I was young, but that was a good one.
I think I was in my 30s.
There you go. Guys, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Jim, thank you so much for jumping on. Tell everybody where they can find you and love on you and show and support you.
Well, first off, let me just say this. Wouldn't this be a country of ours if Democrats and Republicans could do exactly what we just did here,
man, I know.
Go across the aisle, the Alabama and the Auburn folks together in one double box here, talking smart football conversation. We're obviously the next round, 9 to 12 Central Time every day on this platform right here. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you want to find us. And we appreciate it at Next Round Live. And we're in the family with the barnauburn.com. So Next Round is part of the barnauburn.com, and the barnauburn.com is a part of us. And full disclosure, we were surfing the internet looking for a young star, and we found this guy right here. And when we saw him the first time, we were like, hey, what do you think of this guy? And we started calling everybody in the company in to look at this guy. And we're like, we like the energy. We like this guy. And he even knows what he's talking about. So he's got a good camera presence and he knows what he's talking about. So
maybe a little bit. Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, energy's tough right now. You got to bring it. You got to muster the energy up from the depths to kind of keep it going for the stretch we've been on these first four games.
Well, it's not a shot. It's the old joke that we used to say in the state, but it's not a shot, you know, because I think we're 43 days away from basketball season. I think 42 days. And this guy's already doing every week a basketball podcast, video cast. So they're already talking basketball. Not that football season's over with, but I don't know if you know it or not, but we're a basketball state too now. So yes, Alabama and Auburn basketball coverage is on our platforms as well. And he's got it rolling with a weekly basketball pod too.
Absolutely. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Join us. Join the conversation at thebarnauburn.com. It's only $1 for your first month. You can get recruiting information. The game day threads are great. They get thousands of views, hundreds of replies. It's like live reaction of the game. And then you got team info, all kinds of stuff that you can get just like you get elsewhere, with a little bit of a fan perspective, I guess. Have a lot of fun doing it, joining the conversation. A lot of great threads there for only $1. That's a great investment. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're out a buck. It's a lot of fun at thebarnauburn.com. You can find me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single day this week, licking our wounds and getting ready for Oklahoma on this upcoming Saturday. Hopefully we can right this train and get things going back in the right direction. Jim, again, thank you for joining us, and we'll do it again soon. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned, just like Jim.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.